You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Person, anyone with symptoms is advised to seek immediate medical attention. The biggest wildfire in California keeps getting bigger. CAL FIRE says the Rocky Fire has burned nearly 70,000 acres. The fire, burning about 100 miles north of San Francisco, has damaged or destroyed 95 structures, including 39 homes. George W. Bush has been out of the White House for more than 6 years, but the former president is still serving the public. Bush was among the citizens who reported for jury duty in Dallas yesterday. He was not chosen to serve on the jury. This is USA Headline News.
Bob was miserable. His website was invisible, buried 3, 4, 5 pages deep. No one could find Bob's site, not his neighbor, 6 employees, or even the dog. Then Bob found Tizzible, T-I-Z-Z-I-B-L-E, the most powerful local search booster on the planet. Now everyone locally is finding Bob's website. Business is booming. Bob's happy. And so is the dog. Catapult your business on the map for customers searching for companies just like yours. Get Tizzible at Tizzible.com. That's T-I-Z-Z-I-B-L-E.com. T-I-Z-Z-I-B-L-E.com. Get your website visible. Get Tizzible.
If you're looking for something for you and your kids to do this weekend, you might consider visiting one of the many local farmers markets. The Aetna Foundation is promoting that idea.
We believe if we can get kids to think more about their diet as kids, in terms of, you know, fresh fruits and vegetables, then that'll make them healthier adults. And the best way to get them excited is to engage them in visits to farmers markets.
Cardiologist Garth Graham, the president of the Aetna Foundation, says visiting farmers markets and establishing your own home garden are good ways to get young kids into fruits and vegetables and give them a healthier future.
We think gardening and gardens is one way to get access to fresh fruits and vegetables. So we link health with healthy diet, and one good way to get access to a healthy diet is through these homegrown options.
Turns out children are not the only ones who dread going back to school. According to a new poll from RetailMeNot.com, over a quarter of parents plan to spend more than $300 per child.
What I'm hoping is that parents are being a little bit more strategic in their shopping, that they're looking for great deals, and just really going out there with the intent to spend a little less.
That's some advice for parents from the website's contributor, Trey Bodge. She says more than 1 in 4 parents believe the cost of their children's education seems to be rising every year. Survey says parents typically spend about 2 weeks on average shopping for back-to-school supplies. The site recommends putting your more pricey supplies, like winter coats, on hold for now and wait for early fall sales. I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hyde Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement, like will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hyde Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the 4 key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hyde Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
On today's program, I'll be talking about how social selling can help boost your sales, the 5 kinds of people that can help you succeed in business, why you need an exit strategy for your business, how to ensure your business survives the next generation, and I'll have some money management tips for entrepreneurs, as well as to see whether or not your business is ready for a natural disaster. It's Thursday, August 6, 2015, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. Oh, Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Taking Care of Business. My name is Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington, New Jersey. Glad you could join us and glad to have so many listeners across the globe listening in today. Checking in from Phoenix, from Boston, from Portland, from Tallahassee, Florida, and from Chicago as well. Glad you could join us, everybody. For the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Before we get going, a brief check of the weather. What a beautiful day we have out there. 77 degrees at 12:07. Today it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 83 degrees and a low of 61. For tomorrow, more of the same with plenty of sun and a high of 82. It will also seem a little more humid tomorrow in the evening with a low of 64. Talk of a nor'easter coming in over the weekend to dampen our spirits a little bit. For Saturday, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 84 and a low of 61. And for Sunday, mostly sunny and clear with a high of 85 degrees and a low of 61. Current check of the financial market shows the Dow is down 128.31 to 17,412.16. NASDAQ also down 89.43 to 5,050.52. S&P 500 down 19.01 to 2,080.83. Oil down 72 cents to get this, $44.83 per barrel. And gold up $3 to $1,088.30 an ounce. Now, just taking a look at oil for a minute. About a year ago, year and a half ago, not too long ago, oil was over $107 per barrel. Gold was trading at around $1,800 per ounce. So both of those indices way down in just a short period of time.
Did you bring the cavalry?
Woman, I am the cavalry.
Yes, I am, and yes, we are here at Taking Care of Business, hoping that we can jumpstart some of your businesses and also give you some tips along the way that can help you as you try to gain market share, get more customers, things like that. That's what we try to do here every week. Around this time during the show, I usually update you on what's been going on in my life, and there's this month, there's a whole lot going on. I think I mentioned a few weeks ago that we were going to have some construction going on at the store, and basically what we are in the process of doing is moving everything out of the store at Crown Trophy, all the furniture, all of the equipment, the computers, everything has to go. We have to empty the whole store out so that a contractor can come in on August 17th, dig a trench right through the center of the store, and replace the main sewer line that runs right under our store. Aren't we lucky that we were the ones that have the main sewer line? So that now has to be replaced, so we'll be running all of our operations out of the warehouse and production area in the back of the building. There'll be plenty of signs, and we'll keep people posted on the progress of the construction as it goes along. Then we have to rebuild the store because all the walls are being torn down and things like that. So then it has to be rebuilt, new electric, new telecom, and internet. So that's going to take a little bit more time. So starting on August 17th, I really don't anticipate that the storefront would be back open until the beginning of October. And so just a crazy time over there. We brought in two of those pod storage units. We're just taking truckload after truckload out to the end of the parking lot to unload everything. And I now have to not only be the president, the CEO, the boss, I now have to be the construction manager and make sure that all of this works out fairly smoothly. Next week, I'll be gone on Thursday, so there'll be no show next week. We'll run a repeat of a previous show as I am one of the parent leaders with Russ Zaborowski of the Somerset County 4-H Go-Kart Club. So we will be there running the fair for the members of the Somerset County 4-H Go-Kart Club next Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And I encourage you to come on down and visit the fair. It's free. It's from 10 to 10 on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday down on Milltown Road in Bridgewater. So whether you're bringing the kids to check out the animals or something like that, or you want to check out the go-kart club, by all means, come on down. And always great family fun, and most importantly, it's free. And then we found out yesterday that I will be having surgery on August 28th. Now, this is something that has been bothering me for many years. My arm and my hand have been very painful, and we've gone to about five or six different doctors, and everybody kept treating it as if it were a neck problem, only to find out that it isn't. So I have to have surgery on my elbow, and I also have to have surgery on my finger. And they were confused when I was describing my symptoms because I kept talking about pain in one knuckle and one of the fingers of my hand. And So we had an MRI done, and it was really cool because it was about the size of a file cabinet. You just had to stick your hand in there, so there's no claustrophobia. And it comes to find out that we have I have a benign tumor in my hand that has to be removed, but that is causing so much pain. It's kind of like that old story. I don't know whether it was a Bible story or just a kid story, but there was something one time about a lion. And I think he had a thorn or something in his paw, and a much weaker animal came by and took the thorn out and made him all better. I'm trying to figure out what the name of that story was. I'm not sure if it was biblical or if it was just a children's story, but it's going to feel great to, after 18 years, have no pain in that knuckle or in my arm, and looking forward to it. Who knows? This could resurrect my Major League Baseball pitching career. You never know. But now at 12:12, it's time to get into the program. So as soon as I get untangled here from my headsets. So now looking at business and the show preview today, I talked about how I got a lot of great topics with regards to whether or not you're ready for a natural disaster, whether you have an exit strategy for your business, and then how to ensure that your business will survive into the next generation. If it's a small family-run business and you intend to have a family member take it over, as I do, what are you doing to make sure that that will survive into the next generation? So got a lot of great stuff to talk about, great topics, and hopefully you'll stick around. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, let's talk about the exit strategy and whether or not the next generation is ready. I'll give you some comments from what we did at the Crown Trophy annual franchise meeting with the group that we called the Next Gen that will be the ones taking over probably close to 20 of our stores in the next few years. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
What can you do as a member of Rotary? You can eradicate polio. You can promote peace. You can feed the hungry. You can help children do better in school. Because Rotary believes that by working together, you can do anything. This is District Governor Megan Jones Holt. Learn more about Rotary and join me every Monday at 11 a.m. on the Rotary Hour, the show that is dedicated to answering the ultimate question of what Rotary is. Find us on the web at rotarynj.org. Rotary, humanity in motion.
If you're looking to get in front of thousands of new customers, connect with your current customers, you don't want to miss out on the largest business show in Hunterdon County. The 27th annual Hunterdon County Business and Home Expo, coming up on a new date, Thursday, November 5th, in a new location at Hunterdon Central High School in Flemington at the Fieldhouse in Common from 2 to 7 p.m. You surely want to sign up. You surely want to exhibit. Something you don't want to miss. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at huntertonchamber.org.
Listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. Glad to be joining you once again. Got a busy day going on at the store. Already had the general contractor come in and talk to me about the construction that's going on. Have an electrician coming in right after the store, Hockenberry Electric from Somerville, New Jersey. They'll be stopping in to talk about all of the work that has to be done, both temporarily in the warehouse and then permanently back in the new store when we're done. And then one of our store owners from Peabody, Massachusetts, Brian Murphy, is in town. His son's playing some baseball over at Diamond Nation, and he's going to stop in and say hello as well. So a very busy day on the Crown Trophy Jim Gano calendar today. So looking forward to taking care of all of that. Well, when we talk about business, and the funny thing is, I've been doing this. I've been running my own business now for 6 years over at Crown Trophy, and nobody has ever asked me probably what could be considered the most important question that you would ask a business owner when they open a business. Now, when you open a business, you anticipate that there's going to be the ribbon cutting, and people will send you flowers and plants and wish you good luck, and they'll be telling their friends about how their new friend has opened up a new business, and they hope that you'll support it and things like that. One question that's never asked, and I think that as new businesses open up here in the borough and elsewhere, I'm going to start asking it a little more often, and that is, what is your exit strategy? And most people would be confused if I asked that. You open the door, it's your first day in business, and somebody comes in and says, great, you're open. Now, how are you going to get out? But it's important to be thinking about that, because so many times what you do is when you start a business, you're primarily concerned about getting it up and running. But an exit strategy should be a part of just about every business plan. Now, at the start of your venture, you should have a plan for how you want to exit or transition from the business. And this will help you be clear in your focus, share a clear vision for your staff, and navigate times when you are confused. You can use the end game as your compass. Does this decision put you within reach of your end goal? Do you want to sell the business to a public company, use it to produce cash for your lifestyle, or create a legacy for your children's future? This decision will help direct your path in channels, distribution, brand profile, partnerships, media, etc. So what are your long-term and short-term goals for your business? And then how can you accomplish that through an exit strategy? So it turns out that with a detailed exit strategy, you will end up working harder, not smarter. Or without a detailed exit strategy, you'll end up working harder, not smarter, with no real plan for the end. And over the years, you're going to make several changes in terms of the vision of your business, an evolution that is not uncommon. In the beginning, you want to say yes to everything and everybody. But over time, you realize that this can actually hurt your business more than help it. Saying yes to everything is often very tempting, because when somebody's dangling that carrot of a new contract or a new purchase order or something like that, you want to say yes. You want to grow your business. But especially when you're trying to grow a business, that's more true. But saying no and offering a defined set of services could be the better route to go. Now, finding the one or two things your company excels at and that you enjoy doing most of the time is the way to go. You and your clients will be much happier. Now, if you need help refocusing your business, consider hiring a business coach and explain that you are interested in also developing an exit strategy for both the short and the long term. In the meantime, you should consider the following. First, you want to reassess your business. You should have a six-month plan. And again, what is the end goal for your business? Do you want to sell it? Do you want to go public? Do you want to just close it when you're done? With your exit strategy in mind, you should be reassessing your business every 6 months. Number two, is your goal still relevant? As social media and technology make data available in real time, the business landscape is quickly changing. Are all of the indicators driving toward your end goal? What has changed? And is your goal still relevant to the competitive landscape? And number three, how is your brand appeal? Test your customers, suppliers, and partners for their perceptions of your brand and your standing within the industry. Use the data you collect as input, but factor in your gut perceptions and perspective for the final decision. There's nothing quick about being an overnight sensation. However long you think it will take, double it. Whatever cost you think it will take, double it. Don't be surprised that it will take you at least 5 years, 8 to 10 years on the average, to get to the end game. And make sure you have staying power in both cash and positive motivation. Now, one of the other things that comes out of the exit strategy conversation is making sure that if you're going to sell your business, you want to make it something that is sellable. Now, I've been approached by several trophy shops that have been around for a long time, and they have some of the best accounts in the industry that I would just love to get my hands on. The problem is that the gentlemen that have been running these stores have been running them somewhat like hobbies. You know, if you came into my store right now, I would show you three different databases, one for existing clients, one for prospective clients, one for people that we constantly are mailing our newsletter out to in the hopes that one day we will convert them. But every customer that's in our database, you'll have a name, an address, a phone number, a fax number if we have it, an email address. You'll have personal notes. That might include their wife's name, birth date, whatever the case may be. We always try to gain as much information as we can about our customers. If we were to go to sell it, I can show people, here's our sales for last year, because every invoice is input. We don't do cash in the pocket kind of thing. Every dollar we make has an invoice attached to it. Here is your list of a database full of customers. Here's a database of prospective customers. Here's a database of people in the industry or in corporate that should be contacted periodically.
That's a nice package to hand over in addition to your W-2s that'll say, here you go. This is what we made last year. Here's how we made it. Go get them. The retention rate in our industry is at about 90, in our office anyway, is at about 98%. So that means that on January 1st, when I flip the calendar, I should be able to figure out, without any growth, any new growth, I should be able to figure out to within 2% how much money we're going to make that year based on retention. The problem, as I talk to people that want me to buy their business, is that they don't have a database like that. They've gotten lazy in their bookkeeping. They may be the type of business owner that's putting the cash in the pocket kind of thing and hiding it from the government. But when I ask them, where's your database of customers? And they point to their forehead and they said, it's all up here. I said, well, great. And then I point to a piece of paper. So when it gets all down here, we have something to talk about. But I can't download. This isn't Dumbledore from Hogwarts where I can, you know, look into a pensive and find out all of your customers. I need to find a way to get in touch with these people. A few years ago, we bought a competitor out, and his wife, he had passed away, and his wife was so proud that he had all of his accounts in a file cabinet. And she said, just take the file cabinet with you, and you'll have all the customers. So we did that. Brought it back to the store, gave it to my admin, and she started sorting through it. And about an hour into it, she came to me and she goes, we have a problem. The business had been around for 45 years, but the contact information was horrendous. There would be something like Pam and a phone number, but didn't have Pam's last name, didn't have her mailing address, didn't have an email address for her, didn't tell me what organization she was with. And this went on file after file after file. And so many files were just lumped together. So I might have Hunterdon County 4-H with the Hunterdon County Sheriff's Office, with Hunterdon County Water District. It didn't matter what it was. There was no perfect system. There was no organized filing system. And it really became, you know, a worthless proposition for us to try to recreate the database, because I was going to spend more on my admin recreating this database than actually going out and finding new customers. So we continued with the database. We continued with the data mining, but it certainly wasn't worth, you know, buying that business. We got it for a great price. We've made a great profit on it as a result of the material that we were able to bring in, but the business that we thought we were going to get from buying that business never seemed to materialize. So in that respect, I would say if you're looking at the exit strategy, you also want to make sure that the way you run your business is a way that can be almost turnkey. If someone were to come into my office today, give them the passwords to QuickBooks and say, here's your database of customers, start making phone calls, start going after the work. Here's our constant contact database. You have 6,000 names that you can email to. That's something that people can easily, you know, turn into. Whether I'm there or not, somebody can run that business, and with 98% retention, make a pretty decent living at it as well. So again, if you're thinking long term and you're thinking about that exit strategy, when you're going to get out, you're thinking that maybe you have 5 more years and then you're going to retire, think about, are you selling? And if so, make sure that you have something that is sellable to the next person. What if the next person is someone that sits across from you at the dinner table, like a family member? How do you ensure that your business is going to survive the next generation? Now, there's a lot of statistics out there that show that if a first-time business opens up and survives 5 years, it should survive for many more. The first 18 months to 3 years is the hardest, but if you make the 5-year mark, you're pretty much guaranteed that you'll be around for a long time. Now, again, when you start talking about succession, whether that's going to be selling to someone else or giving the business to a family member or selling it to a family member, where the success rate drops off is in what they call the silver spoon, where you give the business to your son or daughter and then they proceed to run it in the ground. Most businesses never survive a third generation. About half fail in the second generation. So if you're thinking of an exit strategy that includes handing the business down to a family member, you may want to consider that you're going to also be training them along the way to continue on the way you did, and certainly incorporate their own ways of doing business. Handing down a family business is a dream of many entrepreneurs who want to see the business they started thrive in the hands of the next generation. But statistics show that succession can be riddled with challenges. Only about 30% of businesses make it to the next generation. Wendy Sage Hayward, a Vancouver-based family business consultant, says although many families may want to pass down their business, the succession process is often not carefully thought through enough to make the succession successful. So you need to avoid holding the reins too tightly is one of the first things that she mentions. Now, founders have a tendency to hang on to control, not allowing kids to have enough say or enough investment in the business. The entrepreneur typically does have a fairly strong control-oriented personality, says Sage Hayward. Entrepreneurial characteristics tend to be very independent, autocratic, and wanting things to be done in a particular way. It can be difficult for entrepreneurs to let go of those tendencies, but, Sage Hayward says, that's exactly what needs to happen in order to have a successful succession. You also need to eliminate entitlement. Just because your last name is Jones doesn't mean you should automatically get a seat at the Jones Company's boardroom table, says Sage Hayward. She recommends entrepreneurs set expectations around how kids will get to participate in the family business. Often, kids will be encouraged to go outside the company for work experience and education so they can bring those experiences back into the family business. You also want to build skill sets of the next generation. One of the biggest mistakes that Sage Hayward says she's seen in family businesses is that the founders have been so busy working in and building the business that they haven't spent the time to work on building the skill set of engagement for the successful or the successive generation. Working on the business means you're developing the next generation, you're engaging them, helping them get the kind of skills and capabilities that they need to take it over. Building stewardship in family members means holding regular family meetings to involve other family members in the key conversations so they understand the ins and the outs of the business and are prepared to take it over when the time comes. You also need to consider whether the next generation actually wants to be a part of the business. Now, sometimes founders have a dream that their children will take over the family business, but the children simply aren't interested. Sage Hayward says this often happens when the founder shuts out the family from the day-to-day interactions of the business or is so busy building the business and not spending time with their families that the kids begin to resent the business and want nothing to do with it when they get older. Involving kids in the business at an early age in a positive way is the best way to ensure that kids will be enticed at an early age to join the business later on. Having discussions about what children's aspirations are and how the family business can help them to achieve their goals is also important. Succession planning isn't an event. It's a process, and that process starts from the very early age, building a work ethic, building the understanding of the business, and building the mindset. And finally, you have to be prepared to let go. Now, ruling from the grave is one of the worst mistakes entrepreneurs can make when handing a business down to the next generation. Trying to set up structures that will control what the next generation can or cannot do, rather than allowing them to run the company, will only cause leadership ambiguity and create a stressful work environment for those family members who are left to run the company. Founders should be emotionally and mentally prepared to walk away from business completely when the time comes around. Currently 12:29, we're going to take a quick break for a quick news break. When we come back, I want to follow up on that story with what we saw at the Crown Trophy annual franchise meeting when it came to talking about the next generation of owners. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. More information is coming out about the man killed by police in a Nashville area movie theater yesterday. Vincente Montano was armed with a hatchet and pellet gun when he released pepper spray before being killed by police. Now his mother is claiming he had a mental illness.
He had been committed four times, twice in 2004, twice in 2007.
That was police spokesman Don Aaron. More details are available on this story at usaheadlinenews.com. There are conflicting reports about the airline wing fragment found on an Indian Ocean island last week. Malaysian Prime Minister Najib Razak says it was from the flight that went missing last year.
We now have physical evidence that, as I announced on 24th March last year, flight MH370 tragically ended in the southern Indian Ocean.
But investigators in Paris say the debris hasn't been confirmed yet as being from MH370. This is USA Headline News.
This report brought to you by Wells Fargo. In July, participants of all ages and abilities gathered in Park City at the National Ability Center in Utah for the No Barriers Summit, a four-day annual event. Scientists, inventors, academics, practitioners, and end users from around the globe came together to witness the latest innovations in adaptive technology and challenge the conception of what is possible. The 2015 No Barriers Summit also celebrated the 25th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act. Kathy Martinez, People with Disabilities Segment Manager, Wells Fargo & Company.
The 25th anniversary of the ADA is an important civil rights milestone for our team members, customers, and suppliers with disabilities and their family and friends. The No Barrier Summit is really the perfect place to commemorate the ADA's achievements, as well as to look forward to what we can accomplish in the future.
The summit events included an array of clinics and interactive exhibits designed to encourage participants of all abilities to discover their potential. For more information, visit NoBarriersUSA.org.
You lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gannot. I'll be with you for about the next half hour. Then we'll head back into the rewind as we join Chris Bianco on Good Morning Hunterdon for a replay of this morning's show. And that reminds me, since we have a couple of gaps in programming, if you're ever interested in hosting your own show, and it's not as hard as many people think, by all means, give the folks at the Chamber a call. You can either call President Chris Phelan, you can call Laura here, or you can call Chris Bianco and leave a message that you'd like to see what it would take to run your own show. Again, it's not very hard. Looking for folks who can give up about an hour a week to host a show and typically talk about your business, your industry, or other issues affecting business like we do here, and or whatever interests you, and then you know, see if we can't get you on the schedule as well. Well, when we talk about business, one of the things that I think I've seen, and part of this topic comes from my background, having worked in the insurance industry for 10 years on the corporate side, where every time there was a natural disaster, and I know I'm going to say national disaster about 10 times, I just don't know why I have such a mental block with that. But every time there was a natural disaster, I can remember we would all assemble down in a large amphitheater. And we would get the news feeds from CNN and other news sources, whether that was Oakland fires, flooding in the Midwest, earthquakes, et cetera. And we would start to assess our damage. You know, what was this going to cost us as a company? And, you know, a lot of these were two companies that I worked with used to insure very high-end wealthy people. You know, Lee Iacocca, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, President Ronald Reagan, things like that. So we would always look, where is their house in relation to the fires? Where is their house in relation to the earthquake? And I can remember that when the Lakers were in the playoffs, I think it was in the championship series one year, they were showing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar playing with Magic Johnson and winning the series. And then on a split screen, they were showing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's house burning to the ground. And I, you know, we as a company were sitting there like, all I wanted to do was watch a basketball game. Now I have to watch, you know, a $7 million loss on the right side of the screen. But every time you hear, and if you look at the headlines from this week, in Florida, massive flooding in the Tampa area. In California, over 20 wildfires raging on. Earthquakes. You know, in different areas of the country. This week, we're expecting a nor'easter to hit, you know, the New Jersey, New York area. So how will that impact damages up in the Northeast with all the snow that happened this year? It keeps talking about losses. A few years ago in this area, we had Hurricane Sandy, or as some people call it, Superstorm Sandy. And there was massive amounts of damage to property, both businesses down at the shore and homes and things like that. And even our business, we had an 80-foot section of roof, you know, get torn off. Planet Fitness had some damage. We had to put new roofs on, and every night I had to cover up and tarp all the sensitive equipment because I didn't want the roof to leak on top of it. So it brings up the question, and it's an exercise that I did, but are you prepared? Is your business prepared for a natural disaster? Now, recent floods and other natural disasters show why it's important for small business owners to be prepared. So here are some tips on how you can weather the storms. Now, record-setting summer rains in drought-stricken Florida and the wildfires of California this past week, including a failed bridge, had a lot of people scrambling. The two-week July rainstorm is an example of the sudden curveballs that small business owners commonly have to deal with. Now, just when you think things are cool, wham, out comes the sucker punch, says Peter Boney, who's the managing principal of Kedgeway Incorporated and author of All Hands on Deck, Navigating Your Team Through Crises, Getting Your Organization Unstuck, and Emerging Victorious. It happens to outfits big and small. Sometimes it's self-induced. The culprit could be a lack of foresight and planning, or just bad management. Other times, external forces beyond anyone's control can whack you. Natural disasters happen all the time all over the United States, from the floods in California and Texas to the tornadoes in the Midwest to hurricanes, adds Bill McMean, who's the author of The Facts of Business Life, What Every Successful Business Owner Knows That You Don't. Successful business owners understand one important reality from those owners who are just hanging on or have had to close their businesses. They understand what can be controlled must be, and what can't be controlled has to be contained. Love that sentence. Natural disasters can't be controlled, but adequate insurance coverage can go a long way to help and lessen the blow of the unexpected, says McBean. You should realize the importance of asset protection, that profits or sales would not be possible if the assets of the business aren't protected. In reality, asset protection is more important than sales and profits because assets create the tools and the inventory from which profits and sales are generated. Assets represent cash or credit already spent, and not protecting them is equivalent to leaving thousands of dollars on a park bench and hoping that no one will take it. The realization that you can't handle things all by yourself is tough for some small business people to recognize, but it's imperative that you create a crisis team to help pull you through. Always break down your assets into the controllable and uncontrollable ones, McBean says. Then make intelligent decisions regarding all of your assets in terms of how they can be protected after a disaster, so that your business can survive to fight for market share when things calm down. And whatever you do when presented with a challenge, don't go it alone, Boney suggests. The realization that you can't handle things all by yourself is tough for some small business people to recognize, but it's imperative that you create a crisis team to help pull you through. So reach out to your staff, your advisors, and vendors, and ask for assistance. Other ways to prepare for disaster are to simply develop a written, documented disaster preparedness plan and review it with your employees. Determine how you will communicate with one another in the event of a crisis, and make sure the information includes emergency contact information for everyone. You need to communicate your disaster preparedness plan, hold a meeting, and run through potential disasters. Discuss your first and future steps. You need to determine the chain of command. You want to designate an employee to take over if you're out of town and unreachable. You need someone steering the ship while you're gone. You need to share your plan with critical external contacts. If you rely heavily on outside vendors, such as computer support people, share your potential disaster plan with them so they know what to expect and do if something does occur. You need to decide on an alternative operation site. The last thing you want to do if a natural disaster strikes is to scramble to find an alternate location. Decide ahead of time where that will be. And finally, you want to back up frequently. Loss of data is often a small business owner's biggest potential threat. You should ideally be backing up every day. Backing up into a cloud can help ensure that your data is safe. Now, on the other side of disaster, when a storm has passed and your company is still standing, you will find that it has made you a better business owner, Boney believes. It improves your judgment and your confidence when you overcome the storms, and it builds camaraderie. Those scars of experience build character for both you and your team. Surviving storms of adversity can also lead to increased business, McBean knows. One company's disaster can be another company's road to riches, he says. Like the floods of California, destruction causes reconstruction, and those small business owners who covered themselves adequately can expand. Whatever you do, stay away from what McBean calls the hope theory. In this case, small business owners hope that unfortunate incidents simply don't happen. He says the hope theory destroys businesses because the unforeseen and mismanaged always seems to catch up with you. So, some great advice there. And a few years ago, a lot of people thought I was nuts because before Hurricane Sandy, I was already creating a disaster preparedness plan. There's a copy of this in a notebook in the safe in our business. There's a digital copy at home in a lockbox and also in our bank. And what it was designed to do was I have everything I need, vendor phone numbers, contacts. I have all the passwords for every program that we use, account numbers, everything, credit card numbers, everything. So if something drastic were to happen, we have it timed out that we would be up and running within 48 to 72 hours. There's sometimes when the floodwaters won't recede that fast, but I've already called my vendors. I know that for equipment, I can call one vendor and have a new engraving machine delivered wherever I need it to be, whether it's in my garage at home, whether I have to move 40 miles north to get away from floodwaters. But they have a machine in Harrisburg, always at the ready, and I would be able to do that. Another vendor has machines available in Hillsboro. I talked to various vendors of trophy components and asked them, if this were to happen, would you extend me a line of credit? Would I be able to change the shipping address? Would I be able to get material, pick material up, et cetera? And they said, well, as long as we're not affected by the same catastrophe, absolutely. I've already talked to my staff. We have everybody's contact information in our cell phones and in the disaster preparedness manual, so I can get to them and let them know what is happening and what the next steps are. Each person has a certain responsibility. Based on what you already heard in the story that I just went over with you, but you have to think of everything. So if you're in a strip mall like me, what happens in the event of a fire? Your store may not be affected, but the building may be condemned. So you would have to move everything out and relocate. How fast can you do that? How fast can you find a new space to move into? How can you do it and afford to do it? Because, you know, your current landlord has a negotiated rate. The new landlord does not. And may look at it as an opportunity to kind of skewer you and help himself in the process. If you have to move, is it going to be a hardship on your employees because they have to travel further? You want to look at your whole business and figure it out what has to happen. I don't think we've ever closed for a snow day. Usually with a four-wheel drive truck, I come in, I work for a few hours, I'm always here. Most of the times there aren't customers, but there's someone there to answer the phones. My staff can stay home, but I usually have to come out. And then, rain, floods, things like that. I always try to find a way to get to the office and then make sure that everything is safe and secure as far as the equipment is concerned. And then when I'm confident, I can head home. But it's always more important that you're looking at if this, then that scenarios, and how would you do it? And I had asked a few years ago if I could do this as a presentation at one of the Crown Trophy meetings, and they said, well, we don't really think we really need that. And I go, really? So there's no forest fires? There's no floods? We had one store owner that had a drunk driver, crash through his showroom and damage the building. He couldn't work out of his showroom for 3 weeks. That's the same. It's not a natural disaster, but it is a disaster if you're in business that nobody can enter your building. So those are the reasons why I do that if this, then that scenario. And it's something that every business owner should do, because at any moment, something can happen that affects whether or not you're going to open the door tomorrow. So make sure that you're prepared in the event of a disaster, whether it's man-made or whether it's created by nature. We're going to step away for our last break of the afternoon. When we come back, a new study out shows that 67% of consumers are actually influenced by online reviews. And I'll review that with you in just a minute. But for right now, you're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on 100inChamberRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on 100chamberradio.com. Like what you hear on 100 Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our 100 Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the 100chamberradio.com app today.
This is Chris Phelan, president of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, and I'd like to congratulate our Leadership Hunterdon Class of 2015 for all of their success and accomplishments. Amy Anderson, Jeannie Versa, Joni Cafaro, Colleen Doerr, Carmel Gettings, Richard Hall, Michelle Cavanaugh, Elizabeth Lowe, Leslie Parica, and Dolores Van Pelt. They have truly accomplished much over these last 9 months. I encourage you to visit the Chamber's website, hunterdonchamber.org, and read their white paper. Their white paper will contribute greatly to the future economic growth here in Hunterdon County. Also, please feel free to visit the Hunterdon Chamber's YouTube page, and there you will see a great video encapsulating all of their accomplishments, all of their growth, and the continued success, the real impact of Leadership Hunterdon here in Hunterdon County.
Yes, sir, Bob. You're listening and taking care of business right here on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. We got about another 13 minutes together, and then we'll head back to the rewind. But right now, let's talk about a new study that's out that reveals about 67% of consumers are influenced by online reviews. Now, Google has processed over 1 trillion search queries in 2014. And as Google search continues to further integrate into our normal daily activities, those search results become increasingly important. Especially when individuals are searching for information about a company or a product. To better understand just how much of an impact Google has on an individual's purchasing decisions, a research study was set up with a group of 1,000 consumers through Google Consumer Surveys, and the study investigated how individuals interact with Google and other major sites during the buying process. So the question was, do searchers go beyond page one of Google? Now, at first, it was thought that to understand how deeply people went into the Google search results, they wanted to know if people tended to stop at page one of the search results or if they dug deeper into page two and beyond. Now, a better understanding of how many pages of search results are viewed provides insight into how many result pages we should monitor related to brand or product. Now, when asked, 36% of the respondents claimed that they looked through the first 2 pages or more of search results. But looking at actual search data, it's clear that individuals view less than 2% of searches below the top 5 results on the first page. Now, from that, it's clear that actual consumer behavior differs from self-reported search activity. The takeaway here is that people are willing to view as many as 2 pages of search results, but rarely do so during normal search activities. Are purchasing decisions affected by online reviews? Google has integrated reviews into the Google Plus local initiative and often displays these reviews near the top of search results for businesses. Other review sites such as Yelp and TripAdvisor will also often rank near the top for search queries for a company or product. Because of the prevalence of review sites appearing in the search results for brands and products, it was asked whether or not there would be a better understanding of how these reviews impacted consumers' decision-making. So the participants were asked, when making a major purchase such as an appliance, a smartphone, or even a car, how important are online reviews in your decision-making? And the reviews revealed that online reviews impact 67.7% of respondents' purchasing decisions. More than half of the respondents, 54.7%, admitted that online reviews are fairly, very, or absolutely an important part of their decision-making process. So the takeaway here, companies need to take reviews seriously. Restaurant review stories receive all the press, but most companies will eventually have pages from review sites ranking for their names. Building a strong base of positive reviews now will help protect against any negative reviews down the road. Now, when do negative reviews cost your business customers? The research also uncovered that businesses risk losing as many as 22% of customers when just 1 negative article is found by users considering buying their product. If 3 negative articles pop up on a search query, the potential for lost customers increases to 59.2%. If you have 4 or more negative articles about your company or product appearing in Google search results, you're likely to lose 70% of your potential customers. The takeaway here is that it is critical to keep page 1 of your Google search results clean of any negative content or reviews. Having just 1 negative review could cost you nearly a quarter of all of your potential customers who began researching your brand, which means they were likely deep in the conversion funnel. What sites do people visit before buying a product or service? Google Search is just one of the sites that consumers can visit to research a brand or product. So they thought it would be interesting to identify other popular consumer research sites. Interestingly, most people didn't seem to remember visiting any of the popular review sites. Instead, the brand site that got the most attention was Google Plus Local Reviews. Another noteworthy finding was that Amazon came in second with half of the selections that Google received. And finally, the stats show that more people look to Wikipedia for information about a company than to Yelp or TripAdvisor. The takeaway here is that brands should invest time and effort into building a strong community on the Google Plus site, which could also lead to receiving more positive reviews on the social platform. Online reviews can impact your bottom line. The results of the study show that online reviews have a significant influence on the decision-making process of consumers. The data supports the fact that because internet users are generally willing to look at the first and second page of Google search results when searching for details about a product or company. You can also conclude that online reviews sites like Google Plus Local are heavily visited by potential customers looking for information, and the more negative content they find there, the less likely they will be to purchase your products or visit your business. All this information paints a clear picture that what is included in Google search results for a company or product name will inevitably have an impact on the profitability of that company or product. Internal marketing teams and public relations firms must consider the results that Google displays when they search for their company name or merchandise. Negative reviews, negative press, and other damaging feedback can have a lasting impact on a company's ability to sell their products or services. How can you protect your company in Google search results? A PR or marketing team must be proactive to effectively protect a company's online reputation. The following tactics can help prevent a company from suffering from deleterious online reviews. First, identify if negative articles already exist on the first two pages of search results for a Google query of a company name or product, like Walmart. This simple task should be conducted regularly. Google often shifts search results around, so a negative article, which typically attracts a higher click-through rate, is unfortunately likely to climb the rankings as individuals engage with the piece. Next, you want to monitor and analyze the current sentiment of reviews on popular sites like Google Plus and Amazon. Other sites like Yelp or TripAdvisor should also be checked often, as they can quickly climb Google search results. Don't attempt to artificially alter the results, but instead, look for best practices on how to improve Yelp reviews or other review sites and then implement them. The goal is to naturally improve the general buzz around your business. If negative articles exist, there are solutions for improvement. A company's marketing and public relations team may benefit by highlighting and/or generating positive press and reviews about the product or service through SEO or ORM efforts. But gaining control of the search results for your company or product, you will be in control of the main message that individuals see when looking for more information about your business. That's done by working to ensure prospects and customers enjoy a satisfying experience when interacting with your brand, whether they are online or offline. Being proactive with a brand's reputation as viewed in the Google search results and on review sites does have an impact on the bottom line. And as you can see in the data, people are less likely to make a purchase as the amount of negative reviews increase in Google search results. By actively ensuring that honest, positive reviews appear, you can win over potential customers. So a whole lot of good advice for you there. And how many times are you Googling yourself, Googling your company? Have you set Google alerts for both? This week in today's Hunterdon County Democrat, there was an article on Crown Trophy of Flemington because we had just won the Sales Achievement Award at our annual meeting. And so there's a picture of myself and my son Brandon with our founder, Chuck Weisenfeld. And it was funny because I think it was Tuesday afternoon, I got an alert on my phone and it just said Google Alerts, Jim Ganeau. So when I opened it up, you know, sure enough, there was the article. It had already hit the online edition, so I knew it was going to be in today's newspaper. So I've set alerts for myself, for Crown Trophy of Flemington, Signs by Crown, Crown Custom Apparel of Flemington, and some other things that I'm involved in, because if there is press, whether it's good or bad, I need to know about it so that we can respond accordingly. So it's always a good idea to make sure that you set Google alerts for yourself. And if you don't know how to set a Google alert for yourself, just Google it and you'll find out how. It's very easy to do. But it's always a great way to make sure that your reputation is remaining intact. A little sad news this week. This is the final week of The Daily Show with Jon Stewart on Comedy Central, and I have enjoyed watching him over the years. The political satire that he delivers every night is pretty much spot on. And what was funny was how many times he is mentioned on the mainstream news channels for something that he says because nobody else is saying it. Tonight we have the presidential debates up, I believe, in New Hampshire. And that should be rather interesting to watch because, you know, as it was mentioned in the news at the beginning of the broadcast, a lot of the candidates are now going to come after Donald Trump in attack mode. And the funny thing is that there's nothing wrong. Well, there is. There's plenty wrong with what Donald Trump is saying. But the fact that he's actually starting the conversation of what of topics that people in Congress, in the Senate, and in politics simply don't want to talk about. So it'll be interesting to see how they attack him and, conversely, how he replies. So it should be an interesting night. Looking forward to watching the debates and seeing if anything should come out of it with the 18 candidates. I think there's 12 on the stage, and then there's what they call the honeymoon debate at 5 o'clock for the candidates that had less than 2% of the in the popularity polls. So we'll have to see whether or not this thins the herd a little bit or if any more jump on. And disturbing news for Hillary Clinton is that Joe Biden is now considering a run for the presidency and whether or not that will have an impact on her candidacy as well. In sports, in NASCAR, Matt Kenseth won last week at the Tricky Triangle, Pocono International Speedway in Long Pond, Pennsylvania, in last weekend's Pennsylvania 400 race there. In Major League Baseball, the Yankees, Royals, Astros lead their divisions in the American League, while the Mets, Cardinals, and Dodgers lead their divisions in the National League. And what is happening in Philadelphia? The Phillies are winning ball games and are now just 15 games behind the first-place Mets. What? Who would believe it? In the NFL, training camps opened last week, and there have already been some key injuries to Arian Foster and Michael Floyd. That should shake up your fantasy roster just a bit. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice that I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have ideas for an upcoming programming topic or guest, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com. Or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGaneau83, or on Facebook. I'm Jim Ganeau, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
City health officials say the number of Legionnaires' cases is growing. It now stands at 97 and is the biggest outbreak in New York history. All those who've died were older adults with underlying health issues. The pneumonia-like disease is not airborne and can't be spread person to person. Anyone with symptoms is advised to seek immediate